Welcome to Head Games Radio. This show tries to get down a little deeper than sometimes we're able to on other networks in terms of what motivates some of the great leaders in sport. And we had a wonderful conversation with Bob Costas yesterday about sport. We covered the NFL, we covered the NBA, we covered baseball itself. And we talked about the kind of territory that a public figure is in. If you see these ridiculous ads now, for instance, it's John Kyle versus Jim Peterson in the Senate in Arizona where I live, and I'm sure you see it all across the nation, where each candidate spends its time attacking the other one. And there really isn't much room played out for people with imagination and leadership. The same thing is true to some degree in the culture for all public figures. And our friend Bob Costas talked about that on yesterday's show.
The atmosphere has changed in that respect almost exponentially with the advent of a certain kind of sports talk radio, a certain kind of cable TV culture and tone, throw the internet in. And so the people who are the snarkiest or the most mean-spirited or want to just launch ad hominem attacks and think that qualifies as commentary, those people are everywhere. Look at the tone of political campaigns today. It doesn't have to be true. It doesn't have to be fair. It doesn't have to make sense. Just take a shot at somebody. And so when that's the atmosphere, I would think that if Jim McKay were around today on the air, or if Vin Scully were just starting out and he was doing national broadcasts, make a list of the people you most admire, whose work is most deserving of respect. Even they would have some people taking potshots at them. And in many cases, it says much more about the people doing the potshotting than it does about those at whom it's directed.
That's Bob Costas, the potshotting. One of the great things about the best journalists is the words that they coin on the air end up being part of the lexicon of our culture, and I think potshotting just entered that realm. But we want to thank Bob. We're going to go into that interview in depth, and then we're going to be joined later in the show with Rick Goslin talking about the NFL and some of the better stories out there, whether it is the Raiders and their rise, the Michael Vick story, why he seems to have found himself. Maybe it's just about protection. We'll be right back in just a minute. You're listening to Head Games on the Sports Byline USA Network and Sirius Channel 122.
My life absolutely rules. See, this guy I like, his favorite band is coming to town on his birthday. I'm thinking, tickets, perfect gift. What? Sold out? I'm about to lose my cool when someone on the radio goes,
"Even when the others say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now will ask you, where would you like to sit? TicketsNow.com."
Ah, sweet. I go to TicketsNow.com, and within minutes, the tickets are mine. Mr. Birthday Boy says, "Oh, baby, you got the sweet seats." I say, "Tickets Now." He goes, "Yeah." So I say, "Tickets Now is awesome." And he says, "And you are amazing." He puts his arm around me and says, "Now, come sit a little closer." Score! Yes!
Tickets Now. How close would you like to sit?
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Keep the adventure in your travels, not your drinking water. Go ahead, take the road less traveled, because now you can have purified drinking water anytime, anywhere, just by packing a simple 8-ounce tool. SteriPen is compact, chemical-free, and kills over 99.99% of all unhealthy organisms in your drinking water within seconds. SteriPen is simple to use, so you can enjoy the journey and the drinking water. Available at REI stores everywhere, or go to REI.com. SteriPen, safe drinking water anywhere.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. cracked heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage cracked heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You'll get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
That was Marv Levy, who I think John Clayton would agree is having a challenging first year trying to turn around the winning culture of the Buffalo Bills. John Clayton, the ultimate 007 of the NFL. How are you?
Good. How are you, Nick?
Very good. I know that you're crazy, but, you know, I thought we'd have a little fun starting off. We had Bob Costas for the full hour yesterday, and we talked about the fact that one of the reasons why football is so much more popular than baseball is because we've developed a big event culture. Here's Bob Costas from yesterday's show.
I don't think there's anything, or not, at least not much, fundamentally wrong with baseball, but the culture has changed. It's a big event culture, a short attention span culture, and a baseball playoff series takes seven games to play out. It's not one game like football at a time of the year when people tend to be watching television.
That's Bob Costas from yesterday. Is that, do you think, the big thing that we have just changed? Our attention spans are given more appropriately to a football kind of format?
Well, and I think even more so than that, because add to the fact, not only do you have the big event part of football, but I think once you get to, say, a World Series, there's really almost, it's a regional sport in many ways. Now, I think it verifies by the numbers. I mean, you know, outside of, say, St. Louis and Detroit, the interest in baseball in the World Series isn't in comparison to, say, football once you get into the playoffs. Because, again, I think there's so many things that factor in. I mean, one, I think there's so much more interest thanks to fantasy football that really keeps the public even more educated as far as the players of the game. But then, of course, the big event then carries through for each of the playoff games to a point where it's a big crescendo at the Super Bowl. And then it even carries through in the off season, where baseball used to dominate in the hot stove league. It's still very vital, but it's not as big as, say, the NFL for the hot stove league after their season because of free agency and everybody worried about what their individual teams are going to go. I just think that in many ways, football continues to explode as far as its interest, and it hasn't reached a peak yet.
That's my next question, which is football just continues to grow. What are the key things? Do you think perhaps, this is my perception, John, from watching it over the years, is there was such a cultural anonymity with regard to the guys in the trenches in football, and now you're beginning to take advantage of the free agency era so that what you see, for instance, with LeBron and the LeBron family, you know, they're trying to put faces in the same way from the NBA in the NFL, trying to make sure people see these people as real people, not just as warriors and gladiators on the field.
Sure, and I think also, too, I mean, fantasy football has really helped that. Now, again, I'm not a fantasy guy, but I think you have to take into the realities of now, you know, we're in baseball for the most part, you know, you care about your home team. Where in football now, you may be watching as many as five different games over the weekend because there's a care for, okay, how's my running back doing on this team, or how's my wide receiver doing on this team? And so I think what it does do, and particularly, too, knowing that, you know, you've got more fans that have access to things where they can find more games and more things. I mean, how many, think about this, and again, maybe it's just there's so many baseball games. How many times do you think a fan is going to be sitting there switching and watching four baseball games in a night? Because there's one big day of football and, of course, a couple days where there's night games, you have more fans watching more games, and they're trying to gather more things, one, about their own team, and two, about some of the players they care about, either as far as interest or fantasy football.
One of the things that has also, I think, made it difficult for baseball to sustain itself, John, is what we talked about yesterday with Bob Costas, about the focus on history, the statistics, the numbers. When you would talk about a Babe Ruth or a Joe DiMaggio or a Sandy Koufax, there was always a sense of the lore. And today's culture doesn't pay attention to history. Here's Bob Costas from yesterday.
Only based on what's happening right now, or the only thing that matters is what's happening right now. We live in a youth-oriented culture, and some of that is understandable, but we glorify youth to the point where anything that happened less than 5 minutes ago or more than 5 minutes ago is somehow viewed as irrelevant or old-fashioned or whatever. But where does the context come from if it doesn't come from some appreciation of what's preceded it and some perspective that comes with having seen something over the course of time as opposed to just being confronted with things for the first time?
Do you think the NFL, John Clayton, is doing a better job of reaching out to the young commercial, the young consumer of media?
Yeah, I think they are, because I think you can just see it in the commercials that are out there. I mean, you can't go more than, say, an hour without seeing some kind of a Peyton Manning commercial. And I think that they reach out a little bit more with their stars and have a little bit more clout to be on the air as much in commercials, to a point where, I mean, you're going to see Chad Johnson more so than you're going to see, maybe Albert Pujols, or you're going to see a Tom Brady more than you are, say, Glavin or some pitcher in baseball. There just seems to be more of a star factor that's been able to sell. And I think, and also too, knowing that if you look at the football commercials, more so now you seem to see more football players on the beer commercials, which of course, they're not going to have current players on the beer commercials, so they're going to go into the past more. So all of a sudden you see more of the past stars of football starting to reemerge in commercials. And so I think there's the marketing aspect outside of football that helps football more so than it does baseball.
Well, one of the last things we talked about on the show yesterday was just the amazing, you and I have talked about it also on this show, John, is the up and down nature, the incredible, unpredictable nature that football has always been unpredictable, but this year is even at a higher level. Here's one last clip from our friend Bob Costas.
It was picked off four times, and two of them were returned for touchdowns, including a 100-yarder, and that can happen. There is a situation in the league where almost any team could, under the right circumstances, especially if they're home and they catch a good team on a down day and get some breaks, almost any team could win almost any given game.
Now, I don't know. I'm from Arizona, and I don't know about that, Bob.
There may be an exception.
only the Cardinals could figure out how to play so well
exactly.
And lose so horridly that night against the Bears.
And every week after.
Yeah. Well, once they lost that game against the Bears, their season was finished.
That was Bob Costas, joined by Gary McCord. Do you think we'll make the transition now to the actual things that you cover, which is those teams that are on the upswing and those that are on the down, like the Steelers and the Cardinals? Are the Cardinals done? Is it really over for them completely? Is it not even worth turning on the set if they're on?
Probably not, because you can see that they lost their way in that Chicago game, and a loss like that has been, almost impossible for them to come back. I mean, now, they get a bye week, a chance to refresh themselves, but they're refreshing themselves knowing that unless you swing the table and go with eight straight wins, they're 1-7. I mean, their season's over, and unfortunately, not a lot of things can be gained out of this other than, now it looks like Denny Green may lose his job at the end of the year. So they're pretty well done, and the Steelers are close to being done because the margin of error for them now is probably two games, and with some tough games coming up within the division, they're not going to probably have a winning season. I think they still have a chance to get to 9-7, but in the AFC, nine wins isn't going to get you into the playoffs. And so, there's more of a predictable nature in pro football now than maybe, say, 10 years ago. When you talked about almost 75% of the teams being between 7-9 and 9-7, there's separation. And because of separation, good teams, bad teams, Arizona being a bad team, that now it really does take 10 or 11 wins to make the playoffs in both conferences.
Well, we're going to go to a break in a second, but the last comment I'll make, because I'm biased about this, is the teams that are intelligent enough to understand that their kicking game is important are teams that are going to be more consistent. And to me, the best example is what Indianapolis did when it picked up Adam Vinatieri, because they now have a guy they can count on, and even Peyton Manning, as dependable as he's been, will say that having that kicker, and the same thing with Michael Vick, frankly, from 4 weeks ago, bringing in Morton Anderson, they have won several games that they would not have won without them.
Hey, being on the sideline of watching that Indianapolis game, having Vinatieri on the sidelines as opposed to Vanderjagt, and no knock on Vanderjagt, Vinatieri's just better, there was so much confidence that they knew they didn't have to drive the ball all the way down to the goal line to get the game-winning field goal. All they had to do was give him a chance, and Vinatieri was going to ace it.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have a couple comments from John Clayton around the league about Carolina, about Parcells, about Brady, about Michael Vick, and maybe, I think, the most difficult and wrong decision of the season thus far, which is Bill Cowher choosing to play Ben Roethlisberger after two concussions within a few months. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
Shriners, building a better tomorrow for kids. A 70% burn victim at age 3. With the help of Shriners Hospitals, today, C.J. Williams is a beautiful young woman and talented athlete.
Whenever they first told me, the Shrine told me, that there was no cash registers. We did not have to pay for this. And I kept saying, you know, how is that possible? That they paid 100%, or we'd have probably lost everything we had. It hadn't been for them. Not counting my daughter, CJ.
Yeah, the Shriners do more than helping us with what happened to us. They also give us encouragement and know that there is a life after what happened to you.
Some of the world's best orthopedic and burn medical care is available totally without charge at Shriners Hospitals for Children. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For information, call 1-800-237-5055.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASE also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASE can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASE now, 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
Chances are, you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now, 1-800-471-TERM. 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Well, there's some constant themes, and when a John Clayton's on the show, we want to jump right to them. You follow Seattle pretty closely as well. You watch that Chiefs game, and the horrible mistakes the Chiefs made to keep Seattle in it. Is Seattle basically done for a couple weeks till they get their quarterback back?
No, I don't think so, because they've got the Raiders coming up, and they're kind of a get-well card to a lot of teams. And then it comes down to Seneca Wallace played better than I think anybody expected, driving for 3 touchdowns. And if he can continue to at least evolve a little bit and they beat the Raiders and get some confidence, and as long as they win the Ram game, then they're pretty well set to be back on the track for about 11 or 12 wins. Now, they'll get Hasselbeck back for the San Francisco game. They only have three games against winning records the rest of the way, so all they have to do is take care of business against the Raiders and then do well against the Rams, and then they're back on pace.
Okay, last question. Speaking of the Raiders, Tom Flores' comment on that wonderful Raiders offense.
Hey, Leonard, the best offensive drive we had all day was when we had back-to-back 15-yard penalties. That was the best offensive drive all day. I mean, I swear, in my 45 years of professional football, I have never seen an offense so inept.
That's a strong statement, John. So the Raiders are finding a way to win, but basically what you're saying is it's just going to be one win here, one win there. They're still a couple years away.
Oh, no question, because now they've got to figure out long-term what to do at the quarterback position, tighten up the offensive line, and, you know, they've also got to get better play out of the running back, because it seems like in some ways, because of the back injury, they're phasing out Lamont Jordan and going with Justin Fargus, and, you know, they've now kind of lost their way with the running game. So there's so many things that are wrong with the Raiders that I think it's just going to be a very long season, but at least they've now eliminated the embarrassment that they were going to go with a winless season. I didn't think that was going to happen, but it's not going to be more than a 5-6 win season at best.
Well, you won the Super Bowl for us, buddy, coming through. You kicked the game-winning field goal. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. That's John Clayton, and along with people like Chris Mortensen, and coming up in a few minutes, Rick Goslin, people that cover the back side of the NFL, the stories that aren't covered. But, you know, I think one of the stories that keeps being ignored is the fact that Ben Roethlisberger was played as if Charlie Batch has not clearly shown that he can get it done, at least when you think about the balance of playing a Ben Roethlisberger who has demonstrated better than any quarterback since Dan Marino early in his career that he can be a championship, truly a championship quarterback. And in reality, Dan Marino never was a championship quarterback. Why would you do it? There is so much evidence that each concussion creates twice the requirement for recovery. And Ben Roethlisberger, I think, you got to give him credit for standing up there, being gutsy enough to play, but I don't understand why Bill Cowher would have played him. I think it's the biggest mistake possible you can make when you risk a player's entire career.
Well, he got the okay from the doctors in Pittsburgh. From what I understand, right there, they have the best concussion doctors in the world in Pittsburgh. Not just in Pittsburgh, but in the world. So he got the okay, and he probably wanted to play. But Tom could answer that better than me. I don't know how he's performed. All I can read is the stats, throwing 4 interceptions, 2 of them going back for touchdowns. I mean, you can't do that. Period. Giveaway, takeaway ratio, when you're giving the ball away and getting penalized, you're in deep trouble.
You're in deep trouble, but how much of that is that the Pittsburgh Steelers are in deep trouble if they can't have any confidence in a backup quarterback who really did a pretty darn good job in that opening win against the Miami Dolphins? We want to take your call about that. There is a rising tide of emotion and anger that the NFL and Commissioner Tagliabue, who have done for the most part a tremendous job, an incredible job with the NFL, that they would put in the hands the lives and health of the stars of the game, the quarterbacks. Those are the ones that get the concussions the most, whether it's Troy Aikman or Steve Young, who's been on this show recently as well. Why you would put that in the hands of an Elliot Pelman, who I believe his medical degree was not even in the United States. We're joined by Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News. And Rick, you've, I'm sure, followed this among many other things as well, that this committee for the mild traumatic brain injury committee, that it is being run by somebody, Elliot Pelman, who is not held in high respect around the league.
I'm aware of the committee, but no, I'm kind of walking into a firestorm here. What are we talking about?
Well, what we're talking about is my belief, as I've looked at the incidents, what this committee is saying, that there's no evidence of an increase in concussions. And every player that I've talked to, and it's probably been 30 different players, past and present, have said that they believe that there is absolutely an increase in the concussions, certainly in the ability to diagnose them.
And so many players are saying, like Harry Carson, that years later, that their ability to function in life afterwards, their memory, their nerves, their ability to sleep, their quality of life has been significantly impaired because they were not carefully taken care of because of their concussions.
I've got seven documented concussions this season. Not all quarterbacks either. Orlando Pace has one, Michael Boulware. But yeah, usually the majority of the concussions are to the quarterbacks. And until they devise a better helmet, a more padded helmet, I'm not sure how that's going to change. You know, they've basically taken the quarterback out of the mix. He can slide when he runs. It's whistle the sack when he's in the grasp. You know, there's still some kill shots you see from defensive linemen on sack plays. But again, until they devise a better helmet, I'm not sure how much they can protect him any more than they are.
What would you have done if you were Bill Cowher, knowing that Charlie Batch really has done a very competent role, maybe not quite as good as Damon Heward in Kansas City, but certainly a very dependable role? Wouldn't you have played in one more week?
You know, you got doctors are supposed to tell you if a guy's able to play or not. If his doctors told him Roethlisberger's able to play, then yeah, you know, he's fit and ready to go. You know, it's not just concussions. Look at Dante Culpepper. I mean, that wasn't a concussion. He clearly wasn't ready to come back, as was Roethlisberger, but they played. There's too much money on the line, and these guys are being paid a lot of money to go out and win football games. So there is a tendency to rush them, but most of these guys need the approval. All these guys need the approval from the doctors before they let them back on the field, and obviously Roethlisberger got the approval.
Yeah, well, he did, but to me, the evidence is overwhelming that you've got to be extra careful. And one of the benefits, shifting to a team, we both know a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs and Trent Green's situation with his concussion. They at least have found in Damon Heward a guy that is playing as well, maybe even arguably better than Trent Green. What would you do in that situation? Would you basically, let me tell you what I would do. I would play Damon Heward for at least another 3 weeks, if not longer.
Well, I would play Damon Heward until I was sure Trent Green was ready to come back. And the other side of the coin, Nick, is that here Trent Green's got a concussion. He could be losing his job by staying out. So not only does the team want him back, but he wants to get back on the field to hold on to his job. I wouldn't rush him, certainly, not coming off a concussion, especially if he's had a couple concussions in the last few seasons. I don't know that he has. But Roethlisberger's had two concussions now in the last 7 months. You don't want to rush him. But I would take my time. As long as Heward's playing well, there'd be no rush to get Green back on the field. But I do think Green is a starting quarterback in this team. There's a reason Green was a starter and Heward was the backup at the start of the year. I don't see that changing.
Well, and you look at his performance when he backed up Dan Marino, who tutored him down there in Miami, winning, I think, what was it, 5 of 6 games, or
right,
if not all of them as well. Did a tremendous job. He's had a number of years to mature since then. He's not very mobile, but neither is Trent Green. Let's talk about
Trent
that.
Trent Green also a Pro Bowl quarterback and a 4,000-yard passer. Damon Heward has never been there. It's easy to forget about Trent Green because they won a few games, but the bottom line is Trent Green was the better quarterback heading into the season. That's why he was on the field.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely, it's great to have him there, and why not take your time, whether it's 3 weeks, whether it's 5 weeks, to make sure he's absolutely ready. Let's talk about that Seattle Chiefs game, too. Have you ever seen a team in the last couple weeks like the Chiefs make it so painfully difficult to win the game that play, beginning with the fumbled field goal attempt that looked almost exactly a replica of the Gary Apremian Super Bowl play? Do you think that you've seen many games that have had that kind of crazy ending?
Well, Nick, we remember that 1986 game in Pittsburgh, don't we?
Yes, we do.
That was about as crazy as it got with those three special teams touchdowns to clinch a playoff spot. But let me say this. The game last weekend, looking at the stat sheet, if you told me that a team was going to have 200-yard receivers, a running back that rushed for 160 and scored 4 touchdowns, I would think this is going to be about a 21-24, 28-point game. I was surprised at the score when you look at the stat sheet, especially with the other team starting a backup quarterback for a first NFL start.
And then, of course, you move on to Jared Allen, who is, I think, one of the fresh new faces, not only on the Chiefs, but in the NFL. And combining with Tamba Ali, you've got a guy that has created that push up the middle and around the side, that pressure on the quarterback. Jared Allen is a wonderful personality, but here's our friend Len Dawson.
Touchdown. And then Jared Allen plays very well defensively as a defensive end, rushing the passer. Ball is tipped. He catches it. Now, there's less than 2 minutes to go. He goes to a knee, Nick. Game is over. you know, it's over because Kansas City's up by 7 points. But no, he can't do that. He's a defensive lineman. He has to score a touchdown so he can tell his grandkids and everybody else that he scored a touchdown when he was in the NFL. And so he's running instead of getting out of bounds or going to a knee, you know, protect the football. He's trying to look like that. Larry Johnson.
That's Len Dawson. So even though the Chiefs have found ways to keep these games interesting, ultimately, unlike the Cardinals who missed two key game-winning field goals a few weeks ago and have gone in the tank, the Chiefs have found a way to win, and they're playing with the confidence of having won, which has got to benefit them down the road.
Yeah, I think this is a key game for both of the Missouri teams this week. The Chiefs going to St. Louis. They're both 4-3. They both have playoff hopes. And whoever loses this game is going to have those hopes dimmed a little bit.
When we come back, we're going to talk some more with our good friend Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News about Michael Vick, about Tom Brady, and what on earth he is, the magic that he is performing in New England. And back in the hometown of Rick Goslin, Bill Parcells, the new copter signer, kinder, softer, gentler Bill Parcells. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games on the Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-503-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and, even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298.
Hi, this is the 2Gs. I'm Gary. He's Graham.
Where we come from, the football is round.
90 minutes, 22 players, millions of fans around the world getting their fix each week. Get yours. Listen to the 2Gs.
Real talk, real fans, real football. www.the2gs.com. Monday through Friday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern. Sirius Channel 122 and the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
That's 800-878-7529. What's your comments on the idea of Bill Cowher and other head coaches that are playing their quarterbacks with concussions, and whether you think that's a smart thing to do just because the doctors say it's okay? 800-878-7529, and we'll give a $100 gift certificate to Tickets Now, so you can get free tickets to concerts and sporting events around the country. We're joined by Rick Gosza. We want to thank John Clayton for joining us earlier. And sticking with Pittsburgh, a team that you know something about, I'm interested in your thought that when you look at Pittsburgh and another Pennsylvania team, the Eagles, that because they have either lost or do not have a large running back like the Chiefs do with a Larry Johnson, that they don't have that edge in the fourth quarter, that they can't wear out a defense in the fourth quarter. What do you think about that, Rick?
Yeah, I think that's clearly a problem in Pittsburgh. That's been their identity since Bill Cowher got there, a big physical running game and a big physical aggressive defense, and that big back is missing. You know, I think it really hurts them losing Jerome Bettis. You know, he was the hammer in the fourth quarter. You know, right now they've got a speed and finesse running game, and, you know, Deuce Daly didn't come back the way they hoped he would. So they're trying to win with defense and Roethlisberger, but Roethlisberger is not the same quarterback without Jerome Bettis.
And the other thing is you wear out the defense, plus you use up the clock. And in the poor weather games, in the playoffs, when the margin is even closer, using up the clock when you have a lead, that's an incredibly important strategic resource.
Yeah, and the other thing is when you have a Jerome Bettis, you know, those 2- and 3-yard gains in the first half become 6- and 7-yard games in the second half. The defense gets tired of tackling a guy who's 260 pounds. And when they can't tackle him, you're right, that clock starts spinning. Next thing you know, the Steelers had the ball for 33 minutes, and they're walking off a 17-10 winner.
Well, speaking of big backs, the Chiefs have that, maybe the preeminent young big back in Larry Johnson, and for that reason, I think the Chiefs have a shot. Just the way Pittsburgh got hot when it mattered late in the season last year, if the Chiefs can stay healthy, not only on the offensive line, but also, of course, at quarterback as well, when they're running a Larry Johnson 40 times a game, that the Chiefs can actually max out at the end of the year and have a real shot. What do you think about that?
I think they've got a shot, but I think two of the 5 best teams in football are already in that division, Denver and San Diego. You know, it's going to be tough for the Chiefs to climb over one or both of those teams. Now, you know, in years past, you've seen 2 wild cards come out of one division, but these teams all have to play each other. And it's going to be tough. I really like whichever 2 AFC West teams go into the playoffs because they're going to be Super Bowl ready. But I'm not sure if 3 of them can get in.
Well, let's move on to the Denver Indy game and what Peyton Manning showed, which some are saying was the reason that Tom Brady stepped it up even more on Sunday night. Well, tell me about that performance by Peyton Manning. Most people are saying, and I agree, that Peyton Manning, for all that he accomplished when he threw 49 touchdown passes, that this year he is a more complete quarterback.
Well, he's been working toward that for the last couple seasons. You know, last year I think he really took a step the year after the 49 touchdown season. I saw both those Denver playoff games against Indianapolis in 2003 and 2004, and Manning was almost perfect. He completed, you know, 49 of 59, I think it was, for almost 900 yards and 9 touchdowns. I thought the game the other night was the best I'd ever seen him play. He played what was almost a perfect football game, and he had to be perfect to win that game. You know, they conceded Marvin Harrison the champ, Bailey, Brandon Stokley wasn't there. This guy, they never touched him. 39 pass attempts, the Broncos never got a hand on him, nor did they touch any of his passes. There were no sacks, there were no interceptions. The only time Peyton Manning got dirty is when he took a knee at the end of the first half for the final play. And if you let Peyton Manning pass in rhythm, you're not going to beat him. And he and Reggie Wayne were in a zone in about the final 20 minutes of that game. He threw, after they stopped throwing Harrison in the third quarter, he threw 10 passes to Wayne, all for completions, 3 touchdowns, 128 yards, and a 2-point conversion. You can't beat Manning, and you can't beat the Colts when he plays like that. And I agree with you. I think Brady stepped it up. I think they put those numbers up as a result of the Manning game the previous day.
Well, here's a little bit from our discussion with Len Dawson about Manning's performance and also about the use of Reggie Wayne. I thought that he really showed up a weakness with John Lynch biting on the run. What was Manning able to do? I watched a couple of the plays with Reggie Wayne, and it looked like he split John Lynch and a defensive back and got John Lynch to commit early to the short drop and force him, and it created a lot of space for Reggie Wayne twice in the back of the end zone.
Peyton Manning is a smart individual. You know what they do that's so well? They make adjustments. They make adjustments during the game. They might even make an adjustment during a particular play after it's been called in the huddle. You know, and when you have the relationship that Manning has with his receivers, he knows where they are at all the time, and if he's getting the protection and he has enough time, he's going to get the ball to one of those guys. And I think that they're great receivers because they don't drop many passes. I don't see too many passes dropped by the Indianapolis Colts. And maybe that's because Peyton throws a ball that's easily catchable, but the thing is, they're all on the same page. You know, and it starts with intelligence, in my opinion. Intelligence from the quarterback position, intelligence from the rest of the positions as well. But
that's Len Dawson, intelligence, and that's they give all the credit to Peyton Manning, but isn't it time that people gave credit to Howard Mudd on that offensive line for protecting it? People gave more credit to Tony Dungy for creating the kind of system that is flexible enough to let Peyton star?
Yeah, I think as they keep winning, you're going to see credit going all around. Right now, you know, Manning gets credit because the quarterback is always the focal point, win or lose. The Colts are unbeaten, so Manning's getting the credit. You know, as far as the Bronco game, I thought it was quite simple what they were doing. When they were in man coverage, they threw out routes to Reggie Wayne, and when they were in zone coverage, they worked the ball underneath to Dallas Clark. So Manning walks up to the line, he sees it in man, he's throwing inside. He sees it zone, he's throwing outside. And, you know, the receivers and the quarterback are on the same page. And if there's any kind of miscommunication, you got an interception, go back the other way. To throw the ball, 39 times and have 39 times the receivers and quarterback on the same page was impressive.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks as well, we're talking with Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News here on Head Games on Sirius Channel 122 and Sports Byline. Young quarterbacks of Phillip Rivers and, of course, benefits a running back who's not a large back in LT, but certainly had a fantastic game this past weekend. Will you give us a grade for Phillip Rivers and whether he's going to have what it takes, the experience, the confidence to lead a team in San Diego that's had problems in the fourth quarter into those fourth quarters in the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't think there's any problem here. I mean, Phillip Rivers set an NCAA record for career starts by a quarterback. He started, 51 games. He was an experienced quarterback coming in. You know, they're hoping he can be like Roethlisberger, be a supporting cast player. But again, Roethlisberger came in playing at a lesser level of competition in the MAC. He left a year on the table. Rivers is more prepared to lead a team than Roethlisberger was. They don't ask Rivers to win the games. They ask him to make four or five passes a game to contribute to the win. But defense and LaDainian Tomlinson is going to take this team as far as it goes this season. And I don't think there's any problem with Phillip Rivers. I think he's going to be a blue-chip quarterback.
Well, Rick, I also think that Phillip Rivers is really the Ben Roethlisberger this season for the reason that until this year, Bill Cowher did the exact thing he needed to do, which was to play a Ben Roethlisberger and let him drive the car but not expect him to really win the game. He'd throw 15, he'd throw 21, 22, 23 passes. You start getting up above 30 passes and things are going to happen. I just think that if they're not careful, that Ben Roethlisberger will have trouble getting back to the Ben Roethlisberger that started right off the bat as a great quarterback.
And again, we go back to without Bettis, you don't have that running game presence, and you're going to need your quarterback to make more plays. But with LaDainian Tomlinson, you're not going to have Rivers throw 30, 35, 40 times in a game. I mean, that running game is going to keep the Chargers in games. And Rivers, yeah, I agree with you. I think he can be the Roethlisberger of this season because they're not going to overexert him on the offense.
Okay, let's stick it with Marty Schottenheimer and the San Diego Chargers, one of the 5-6 best teams in the NFL, certainly. The Sean Merriman decision to not pursue this grievance, this appeal as well. How's that play out for them?
Well, that hurts because they've already, this is the third linebacker, outside linebacker they've lost in the scheme. You know, Steve Foley, of course, with the gunshot wound early. They lost Sean Phillips 2 weeks ago, and now this. I mean, I thought the Chargers had the best front seven in football, but now you're taking three good players, three starting caliber players out of that group, and I think they're going to have to be better on offense because I don't think they're going to go out and beat teams 7-0 or 7-3 or 7 or 10-7 anymore.
And maybe it looks a little bit like wisdom as you look from 20 hindsight that Donnie Edwards is still with them, that there were so many rumors he was leaving the team, but they're pretty lucky to still have him, aren't they?
Oh, of course. I mean, I think Donnie Edwards is he's a guy who should have probably gone to 3 or 4 Pro Bowls in his career. He hasn't had that good fortune. Good player that's been overlooked because his teams haven't won.
Well, Rick, in our last 3 minutes, let's focus on your home team there. I know you cover the rest of the NFL, but you were on ESPN with, I believe it was PTI, with our friends Michael Wilbon, and Tony Kornheiser is going to be on the show tomorrow. Tell us about the biggest change. You've got it's sort of like a coronation of Tony Romo, and whether this could have been one of the biggest events for Bill Parcells in his tenure in Dallas.
It was his only choice. He realized he wasn't going to get there with Drew Bledsoe. He was taking too many sacks. He was fumbling. He was throwing interceptions. He had to make a change to save the team. And by going to Romo, he added a spark, and he got that spark against the Panthers. But that was his first NFL start. The NFL defenses they don't have tape of Romo. And as he plays more and gets starts on his belt, there'll be two and three tapes of him. And when the coaches start studying him, they'll find out what he does best and what he does worst, and they'll start attacking the weaknesses. The Panthers didn't have any weaknesses to attack, so it's going to be tougher for Romo to succeed like he did against the Panthers. The Cowboys have had what they believe is a shutdown defense that hasn't played like it. If the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs, it's going to have to start playing like a shutdown defense. Defense is going to have to carry this team.
Well, I'm going to make a prediction that many people don't want to hear, but that is that Terrell Owens' season began on Sunday night.
Yeah, he's clearly got a working relationship with Romo that he didn't have with Bledsoe. Bledsoe tended to favor Terry Glenn, who he'd played with in New England. And now Romo has made made Owens his guy. So, yeah, Owens' season, yeah, I agree with you. We'll start from this point on.
Well, Rick, thanks for joining us. Any predictions for the next few weeks? Lord knows we can't predict more than 2 weeks in advance because the season, the whole league seems to change every 2 weeks. But any key tendency that you see in the league for the next few weeks?
I think the Bears are going to lose to the Giants. If you want a prediction of when the Bears' winnings end,
that's a good one. Yeah, I think Grossman is still far too young. As we talked about with Bob Costas, and actually Charles Barkley on Thursday, somebody has a few good games, and it's still a few good games, really, for Rex Grossman, and they start talking about Pro Bowl, they start talking about Super Bowl and dynasties as well. I think Chicago is still overrated. I think they're a great team, but they have not proven themselves yet.
Not on the road.
Well, Rick, as always, you're first class, my friend, and appreciate it. Everybody, check out Rick Goslin, Dallas Morning News, for the best writing on the NFL. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Nick.
When we come back, final thoughts on our interview today and about our interview yesterday with Bob Costas about the nature of sports and the coverage that you are or are not getting. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline USA Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, a licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
And I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on Earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
We want to thank Rick Gosin from the Dallas Morning News. We want to thank John Clayton from ESPN giving us the inside on what's happening around the NFL. We want to thank Bob Costas and Charles Barkley for coming on the last couple days. Tomorrow we're going to have Tony Kornheiser. Tony Kornheiser, who has joined the Monday Night Football booth. Of course, it's now on ESPN as well. We're going to talk with him about how things have changed for him. We talked with Michael Wilbon about whether our friend has a big head.
Talking now about all the stuff he didn't know and all the things he wished he'd known and all, you know, and his renewed, well, I should say newly discovered respect for how hard players in the NFL have to study. The intellect of players, particularly linemen, he's just, you know, and every time I go into the locker room now, I run into players who tell me about their conversations with Tony and how great the conversations were, and I'm like, oh my goodness. So it's like he's, you know, gone to, you know, grad school. So no, big head is not the problem. I mean, it's just added to neuroses, if anything else.
Well, neurosis is what it's all about with Tony, and we'll talk about his neurosis. But I want to make sure that tomorrow, that for those of you that want to get your two cents, and make sure you're listening to the show tomorrow to let us know what you think about the Monday Night Football coverage and whether it has improved this year. ESPN's very happy, and I think for the most part, I'm happy as well, although I wish a guy with the calm insight into the game like a Len Dawson was still part of it. And Friday's show, we'll have Boomer Esiason and a special star for the Kansas City Chiefs joining us on the show. This show is about you. It's about helping to answer the questions that aren't getting talked about enough. We're going to go into the technologies of it with a Ron Jaworski from time to time, or the intelligence of it with a John Clayton or a Rick Gosin. But it's about you, and we'll reward you with a $100 gift certificate every time you call the tickets now, because we appreciate you and what you do. Listen to the website for all of the clips, all of the MP3s. You can download them on the website at www.headgamesradio.com, including Michael Wilbon's interview, including the Bob Melvin interviews and Eric Burns interviews from the World Series, including some of the great interviews of our time on the show with Chris Berman and Commissioner David Stern and Charles Barkley. And we're going to try to do a little bit more with the women in sport, with the Women's Sports Foundation Hall of Famers like Billie Jean King and Jackie Joyner Kersee. And we're going to cover other sports that aren't covered enough, like tennis with Luke Jensen, and also like golf with our friend Gary McCord and Peter Costas, the mental side as well. I guess my thoughts about today's show are going to return to the notion of the injury. The players that play with injury in the NFL, there is a 100% injury rate in the NFL. These guys play with pain all the time. Those of you, not the kickers, I'll make the exception. Most of the kickers don't deal with that kind of that kind of pain, but these players play with a level of pain that few people can understand. And the respect that I have for them to put up with it like a tiki barber all these years is enormous. For those of you that want to talk about Tony Kornheiser, Monday Night Football, join us tomorrow on the show. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow. You've been listening to Head Games on the Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.